Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today I want to invite your attention. We're going to go into, just for a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about this right on the cusp of Easter. By the way, if you invite people to church, they'll come. Everybody you don't invite won't come. Just thought I'd let you know that. But I mean, it's an opportunity. It's almost like a gimme of various times when we have an opportunity to really make Jesus known to folks. So we're going to go start off in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. We're going to talk about Jesus cleansing the temple. We'll also look at Matthew's account in chapter 21 through verses 12 through 14. So chapter 2, verse 13. I'll read the first one, okay? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Here comes yours. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Verse 14 together. Here we go. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to look at this whole, not only concept, but also the reality of what you did at the beginning of your ministry and then toward the end of your ministry. The idea of having the temple of God cleansed. Lord, we realize that we are indeed the temple of the Holy Spirit. And today our cleansing process needs to take place. And Lord, we're here. We're candidates for that to happen. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit today that no one will try to escape that opportunity. Because Lord, we want to be wholly acceptable unto you. To be filled with your presence, with your power. Holy Spirit, do a work today that only you can do. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people can say,
amen.
You may be seated. Now, as believers, I know you've heard it before. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? I don't think we really realize that. And I think there's oftentimes I don't because of the things that we do or I do or the things that I've said. That being the case, but throughout the ministry of Jesus, he was very careful to honor and reverence the very temple of where people would meet to meet with God. But now it's a little in our atmosphere now. Jesus lives inside of you. He lives inside of me. But what about this? Regardless of the things the enemy would try to do, the Lord desires that our bodies would be cleansed and prepared to house the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. I got some questions to ask you, and actually we're going to go a little bit deeper than probably some people are ready for, but I believe the Holy Spirit has prepared our hearts to really receive something from God. Here's my first concept or question today. Is your desire to follow Jesus in conflict with the things that you have allowed to access your body and soul through worldly compromise? Oh my. What a way to start. It's too late to leave, so you might as well stay. We'll know why. I'm gonna move on to number two, because we'll talk about each one of these in depth. Number two, are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to confront all the things that would displace him from the place of prominence in your body? Oh, it gets a little bit deeper. Have you allowed the things of comfort to your flesh to displace the confrontation of the Holy Spirit. Ever heard of comfort food? Don't lie. Talk about mac and cheese. Well, bless his great name, you know. Fried chicken. I know it's not good for you, but it makes you feel good. Well, I'm here today, but I don't think you're going to feel good until you get some things dealt with as far as cleansing the temple. The idea behind it is not just the idea of, we just want, well, it's Easter time, it's resurrection time, so it's the time for us to look holy. Holy Week is coming, so we got to put on our best face. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God wants to desires from us every single day of our lives. And so we're going to delve into this because it's Jesus' desire is to have an exclusive access to our temple. And going back to John chapter 2, verse 16, we'll read that again. It says, and he said to those who sold doves and take these things away, do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. What does that mean? Easily read, it says, well, it's been displaced. It's been used for something it was not designed to be used for. In our thought life, I believe that God is going to explore some things about us. The first thing I would venture to say is that Jesus was very much relevant to the things that were happening, that he wasn't so spiritual, that he wasn't in touch with the things that needed to happen in people's lives on a regular basis. You know, sometimes we are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. Land the plane. Let's live in reality. And I believe that God's going to bring us to a place of understanding. So what does that mean? It means the very idea that Jesus, the very first miracle, isn't it interesting? The very first miracle that Jesus performed, he got some more alcohol to a wedding. Notice I didn't say wine. So he said, oh, it was grape juice. No, it wasn't. Say whatever you want to, but honey, he brought in some liquor. And folks are pretty happy with what he brought. Now, this is hard for me to say. I was raised in one of the holiness environments. You didn't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. And alcohol was not a part of the program, right? So somehow we got that all messed up. But I'm going to get off that in a minute. But I'm going to marinate for a while. But here's the deal. Is it Jesus' very first miracle? I believe it had intentionality because of the very fact he was invited to a wedding. They run out of wine. The people are embarrassed. And then his mother comes to him and says, well, they've run out of wine. What are we going to do? He says, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes from the fact of this, that's not my problem, to the fact of bring some water pots. How do you do that? I want to tell you something about Jesus. Maybe you've escaped. Is God? Jesus wants the best for you all the time. And he's concerned about the details in your life. And he will move heaven and earth many times in order for you to experience the very best he has for you. So the very thing I want to say to you, for those of you who get stuck in the idea that God is a cosmic killjoy, he's not. He's always concerned about you. But you know, the miracle that Jesus performed has the same contingency that's upon us today. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. No, if you want a miracle in your life, you better be ready to do whatever he tells you to do, or no miracle is going to come your way. It will never be on your terms. That's the reason why cleansing of the temple will never be on your terms. When you think it's clean, ever had your kids tell you the room was clean? Come on, work with me, folks. And what about this? Oh, that? Or it's all done except for it's not done. Let me move on. I'm going to get violent here in a minute. Everything he does, it requires that we have obedience to his commands. Well, what about this next part? Jesus will give us signs that we may believe in him. And back to John chapter 2, verse 11. Notice this. This is the beginning of the signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Do you know what that scripture is at the end of? After Jesus turns water into wine. That's where that scripture belongs. And people believed in Jesus because he turned water into wine, because he made a party happy again. Try to draw a parallel with that. I want to tell you that I think the only thing I could come to is that who could be that concerned, and why would they be so bothered about making a wedding as successful? But because of that detail, people believed in Jesus. Let's talk about you for a moment. What things are you doing that will keep people from believing in Jesus? What things are you not doing that will keep people from believing in Jesus? Jesus wants to cleanse your temple of all of those distractions, all of those things that would take people or alienate them from the very presence of God himself. Our belief in Jesus should be based upon his presence, which makes all things possible. And what about this? And he will manifest his glory so we will believe in him ourselves. You know, it's so interesting that some people are so you know, adamant about, oh, you should do this and you should do that. What about you? What about you? Jesus desires our temple to be clean so it can be used to bring him glory. We'll pick up verses 13 and 14 of chapter 2. It goes this. And now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to the temple, up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. I got a question for you. Why did you come to church today? Oh, well, it's Sunday. And my rooted group are going to quiz me if I'm not there. Yippee. Or I usher, or I do this. We have got some of the lousiest reasons for coming to church. Most of you come because you're afraid somebody goes, well, why weren't you at church last week? But I need to tell you something. It's got to go deeper than that. You say, well, I like the presence of God. I like to hear Lasana singing. I like to hear the worship team. I like to hear Pastor Paul play the piano. Is that the reason why you come? God help you. There's got to be something deeper in that something happens when you come into this place where this temple of yours, as you come into the house of God, it all of a sudden fills this house with glory that goes and belongs to God and God alone. There's got to be a better reason than that. Well, the deal is this, that Jesus was not passive about the temple of the Lord being defiled. I don't know what your picture of Jesus is, but he's not a wimp. No, he's not. I just imagine him going there. Now if you're a carpenter, you can throw some tables around. You know what I'm saying? So he comes in and he is not happy at all. The passivity that we attribute to Jesus is just not true. He has a zeal for the house of God. So that means he has a zeal for this house of God. That he wants it to be clean. He wants it to be sanctified. He wants it to be holy. That he can use you to the fullness that God has in store for you. But we live any old kind of way. It's going to get, well, anyway, I got to slow down. Jesus, help me. Those who were taking advantage of the temple clearly were there for the wrong reasons. So Jesus constructed a whip and drove the men out of the temple. I need to tell you that it's not strange for us to have conflict going on inside of us. We're torn in two different directions. There's a part of you that says, I really want to do the right thing. I really want to pray. I really want to read the Bible. There's another thing that's in you that says, I want to watch Scandal. I got to tell you this story real quick. I won't tell you where I was because otherwise the people would be just mortified. But I happened to be over visiting with some folks, and then all of a sudden they had missed I've never seen Scandal before in my life, ever. But all of a sudden, oh, I know how we can pull it up on the screen. They'll bring up the next episode. I'll tell you what, they bring this thing up on the screen, and they're talking about these people like they're real. Watch what she's going to do. Oh, she's going to say that. I can't believe he said that. Well, he slapped her. I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? And when Sally finds out about her, she goes, they're talking about them like they're real people. Do you realize that's how far we can get enmeshed in worldly things that we teach them like they're our cousin or Aunt Isabel or whatever? You have lost your fair ID mind over some of this stuff. Are you kidding me? I can't wait till next week, because when Charlie finds out, he's going to really be mad, like he really lives. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. And then he's like, holiness, holiness is all I long for. Holiness is what I need. Oh, get out of here. Hang on, it's going to get worse. The desire that we allow the Holy Spirit to drive everything out of our lives that will defeat the purposes of worship. That's what we should desire. Now, for those of you who have already gone there, I'm going to bring you back. Did Pastor say we cannot watch TV ever again? No. But you better be careful for what you let in your mind. What you let in your spirit, because it will dislodge the things that are real, that will occupy for righteousness, peace, and joy. It will uproot all of the righteousness that you ever are trying to attain to become more like Jesus. God has given you a responsibility that you are to keep the guard of the Holy Spirit over your mind, over your thoughts, over your habits, over your ideas. Can I get an amen in the house? He said, because I just feel kind of spiritually anemic. What have you been eating lately? I'm trying. We will try to convince, the world will try to convince us to use our bodies for things to bring glory to ourselves. Jesus will confront everything in our life that diverts our attention from the things that will bring him glory. I did something yesterday, and I did it before spring. I went to my closet. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I have something I want to pass on to you. WWIT. You know what that means? I looked at it and I said, what was I thinking? Oh, come on, don't look at me funny. What was I thinking when I bought this? I'm going to tell you, don't ever go shopping when you're depressed. Don't ever go shopping when you're depressed, because you will buy things that in colors that will never compliment you, but you just want something that looks happy. But when you put it on, you look like a clown, okay? Purging is one of those things that you look at and you have to be brutally honest saying, this has got to go. You will not hang on a hanger another day in my closet. You're going in a bag and you're going somewhere else. But you're not staying in my house. But you know what our problem is? Click. And you leave it right there. Till next spring. Then when you move out of room there, then you take it to the basement closet and hang it up on a water pipe downstairs. Oh, see, you laugh because you know. You just can't let go of that stuff. God wants to cleanse the temple of all the stuff that you're not using, that you're just holding on to, that's occupying a place that something useful could be in. We must be willing to do whatever it takes to get the wrong things out of our lives. If we let things in, we must be willing to throw them out. You know what the reason why we keep some stuff? You know how much I paid for that? I paid $100, so I ain't let that go. Mm-mm. It's $100 hanging on that, it'll be hanging on there till Jesus comes. get you a bag, baby, and let it go. But that's our problem, is we will hold on to things because we remember what it cost us. It's serving absolutely no purpose. I've got a word from God for you. Let it go. And make room for what really belongs in its place. Well, here we go. To cleanse means to throw out. Now, I know some of you, I don't want to get too graphic on this because you're having lunch after a while. There's such a thing as a body cleanse. I don't need to go much further, but it's like drinking Drano. And everything. Yeah. As far as we're going to go. Coming out. John chapter 2, verse 17. This is my escape hatch. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." I want you to focus on that for a moment. What does it mean to have zeal for something? It doesn't mean an unconscious effort of, or you can't be inhibited. But zeal is one of those things, you find people that are really zealous, that means that their passion is that this is really important. And I'm thankful for those of you who really believe that's important, that has come to the house of God every week and really be here to enhance and the praises of God. But it's got to go beyond the zeal for the house. It's, do you come here to allow the Lord to change you while you're here? Let's find some purpose in this. Jesus will confront the things in our lives that will defile our temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. This is a place where you're going to find some purpose. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's a scripture you don't want to read for your daily devotional every day. Or do you? Even when you don't feel like it, your body still houses the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not regulated by your temperament, by how you feel, by how you're equating with the things that are going on, with your financial situation, with somebody who just cussed you out. Well, I'm going to get real with you today. Because some of you, all of a sudden, you transfer from one kingdom to the other when that happens. That old man you thought was dead resurrects himself rather quickly. And all of a sudden, something comes up in your mind, something you're feeling about doing, and some of you even did it. When we gave our life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence in us. But you know what? He desires to be president. He's taking on a new, office. It's by when we relinquish control to him, that means that he can operate. And the president, he makes the decisions. He tells you, this is what we're going to do. We're not doing that. No, this no longer this. There's no negotiation. This is how it's going to be. Are you okay with that? Don't look at me funny. Because some of you aren't. Some of you want to get in town and negotiate. Well, you know, I'm a little different than it. We know you're different. But that's not an excuse. There's a standard that God has. What about this? We can destroy the temple of God in a number of ways. And here we go. Sex. Drugs. Here's one you won't like at all. Poor eating habits. Media. Pollution. Isn't it interesting how we're selective? Well, it's not as bad as. Do you realize that bad is in both sentences? It's not as bad. Well, I should say, it's not as bad as, you know, that particular thing. But it's bad. Take bad out of there. How about the glory of God in his place? What about this? Any number of unworthy, immature, or crude means will bring our soul to ruins. Let me read that again. Any number of unworthy, here's another word that you need to log away, immature, or crude means will bring our souls to ruin. Scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the things we just kind of roam around. Well, I know, we'll deal with it at some particular time. I got to move on quickly. Shame and guilt will take over the life of an undisciplined believer. Here's one for you. We will invite people over to our house, but we don't like people coming unannounced. You know why? Because then I know how you really live. And we make all these particular excuses. But that's who you really are. Marinate. This is not a housekeeping lecture, by the way. We must not allow our bodies to find comfort in the wrong things. I'll give you a scripture on that in just a moment. The greatest enemy of faith is familiarity. We can get used to anything. And what you're used to and what you no longer see as a problem has been a problem for a long time. But you know what? You just got used to it. Ever heard this? Familiarity breeds contempt. What about this? Our faith can easily be uprooted by things that we do not, that we do on a regular basis without thinking or giving thought to changing things to draw closer to Jesus. Because that's who we are. Now, before you write me off as a person who's holiness conscious, I'm not talking about holiness conscious. That's another sermon. But what I'm talking about is the things that we know that are a hindrance to our relationship with Jesus, and we won't do anything about it. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is from glory to glory. He's changing us. But you know, one thing I love about Jesus, he will not put everything up on you at one time. He will give you, the Holy Spirit will come along and say, all right, we're going to work with this. God is patient. He's kind. He's long-suffering. His mercies are renewed every morning. If that encourages you, it should, because that's how God operates. But we must exchange the things that feel good for those that will cause us to do good. Let me read that again. We must exchange the things that feel good for those that will cause us to do good. Feelings and emotions are ruled by the senses of those who seek gratification of the flesh. Somebody say amen. Your feelings and emotions will dictate and will be messing with you the rest of this day. Everybody can say, I'm not going to be ruled by my emotions or my feelings at all today. I'm just going to be neutral. It won't work. Let me tell you right now, it won't work. When something happens, our emotions will kick in without you asking them whether they're going to do it or not. You'll have a feeling toward all kinds of things that happen. But here's the thing about it. Here's the beautiful thing about it. The Holy Spirit would like for you to relinquish control over that and allow him to have first choice on how you respond on stuff. Isn't that amazing? He says, yield it over to me. When that person says something to you that you really want to say something, that says, let me have it. Give it to me. Let me process that for you. Or we must choose to come out of what feels comfortable to a place where we must offer up a sacrifice. This is a scripture I think you're going to enjoy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is beautiful. And this is your challenge for this week. Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. God will give you comfort so you can comfort somebody else and not comfort yourself. That's good. In other words, he gives you the ability that when you've been through something that's been hard And you see someone going through something that's hard, he gives you, he's caused you to be comforted so you can give that to someone else. In other words, we haven't found our real purpose in life. Some of us say, we want all the comfort to come toward us and no tribulation. Let me tell you something. When God brings you through something, it's to help you to bring somebody else through something. God is equipping you to be an ambassador of change in someone's life. Some of you have been through some really hard things. You went through abuse. You went through all. You went through a bad marriage and all that other type of stuff. Your kids have gone hog wild and pig crazy. But God has still kept you together, and he's given you the ability. He says, I know you think your heart's going to break, but you know God of all comfort has come to me, and I want to comfort you that God is going to take you through it. I made it through. I didn't think I was going to make it, but by the grace of God, I'm here today, and I'm going to go on no matter what happens. Let that comfort come into your life, but don't leave it there. Give it to somebody else. Somebody needs your smile today. Somebody needs your encouragement today. Somebody says, don't worry about it, you're going to make it. I was where you were, but God has brought me this far, and he can bring you the same way. That's what the God of all comfort has done. You don't go through hard times for no reason. See, the devil will tell you it's never going to get better, but you know, I know better than that. That by grace, he brought me this far, and by grace, he's going to lead me on. Well, he will give us the grace to come out from under the influence of insecurities that made us feel good to real consolation of the Spirit that brings deliverance from those things that will defile the temple of the Lord. You know what we do sometimes? We use the things that happen to us as an excuse to act crazy. Yes, we do. We will try to make ourselves feel better with something that will make us feel worse. The Holy Spirit will release us from the things that we have tolerated in our lives that have left our temple in shambles. What's your level of tolerance? Notice the word tolerated. Didn't really like it, but he said, you know, there's nothing I can do about it, so I'll just let it be there. I want to take you to this last little place, and I hope I can finish it. If I don't worry about it. I'll finish it next week. Jesus will bring deliverance from the things that we have, that have defiled our temple. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. I'll read through this quickly because this is a great story in here. Then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I'm going to stop right there. You're not going to like this, but I don't really care. I really don't right at this point. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. But some of people come in this room that are in this room right now that the devil has control of them. Get scared if you want to. It's the truth. Matter of fact, last Sunday there was a fellow in the service that he told the ushers back there that I was of the spirit of the devil. And he came here to take me out. Yes, he did. In this service. He's not here today because we know what he looked like. But you get what I'm saying? There are people that will come into this place. Everybody that comes here is not seeking Jesus. Matter of fact, the devil never misses a prayer meeting. Or a meeting. But I wanted to know that Jesus is in there. He's in there to do good. He's in there to cleanse the temple. He's in there to deal with some of these issues. Let me go on a little bit further because I feel something coming out that's going to happen today. Here we go. Go on to 24. Verse 24. Take me there. Okay. Or 25, whatever it is. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Let me stop right there. There is no devil in hell under the power and the authority of Jesus that can remain if you want him out. But you know something? Some of you have cut a deal with the devil. Oh, Jesus, why did I say that? Because it's true. Because you're comfortable being like you are. And so the rhetoric he's using, oh, Jesus, we know, you know who Jesus is. The devil knows who Jesus is. But he said, what he's saying basically, we've been in here a long time, leave us alone. Some of you have been coming to church for a long time, leave you alone. But you know something, you're still full of the devil. But Jesus says, I want him out. And so Jesus says, he puts his door, he says, come out of him right now. Now, you want the devil? Hold on to him. But I'm saying if you want him out, today's your day to get free. What did I just say? I said it because I believe it. Because here's the thing you need to know real quickly. Unclean spirits from the enemy are always looking for opportunities to gain access to our bodies. That means the devil will desire to gain control over us, over our life, our physical bodies, are in danger for the devil to afflict us with disease and disabilities. But also this, the gateways to the enemy gaining control is through unclean spirits. Unclean spirits directly oppose everything that Jesus stands for. So Jesus begins to teach. He says, I know who you are. I know you're the Son of God. And you know, Jesus didn't need you to validate who he is. He knows who he is. Jesus don't need your validation. But you know, that's the reason I said, oh, I don't need you to give me, you know, the rally squad. Come on out. The intercessors better start praying now. They realized the finished works of the cross gave believers authority over them. Jesus has all power over the enemy through the power of the resurrection. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. The devil must recognize a person and the authority of Jesus. This is what it says. And these signs will follow those who believe. Stop right there. Every believer in this house, if they're truly a believer of Jesus Christ, has authority over the devil. Only the pastors do. Only the apostles do. No, my Bible says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Now watch this. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I'm going to stop right there where it says they will cast out demons. In the name of Jesus, the devil's got to go. I said, in the name of Jesus, the devil's got to go. When we recognize the authority we have as believers over the devil, he becomes very afraid of us. We have the power to cast out the devil. All power is in the name of Jesus. An unclean spirit was subject to the commands of Jesus, and the words of Jesus silenced the demon. Now, let me just get real direct with this. I just have a few minutes left. Some of you are sitting here in this room that have been harassed, that have been held captive to habits and desires that you don't want and you don't like. I got something to say to you today. Today can be the last day. I don't think you heard me. Today can be the last day. I'm going to even get more personal than that. Some of you in your glove compartment of your car have the addictive habit that has held you hostage for you don't know how long. Some of you have it in your purse. Some of you have it in your pocket. You get to decide whether it's going to keep you under control or not, or whether you're going to accept God's freedom. Oh my goodness, he said it. Yes, I did. Because it's time for you to be set free from those things that the devil says you just can't make it through life without this. Somebody say amen if you believe that. Let me get to this last little piece here. And I want worship team, make your way up here, but come here with expectation. If we desire to cleanse our temple today, we must. Notice I said today, we must. Here's what you need to do. Come with your hands up to surrender to Jesus. You know what's interesting? When you rob a bank, you don't say to the robber with a gun, say, I don't feel comfortable with my hands up. Could I keep them at my side? Would that be okay? I don't have anything in my pockets. But everybody put your hands up. That means I surrender. I ain't going to try nothing. Whatever you do, it's okay. What about this? Sever our ties with the things of the flesh. Now, here's the thing I need to tell you. If you ain't done, don't bother coming. But if today's the day you say, you know what? I'm going to trust Jesus that this is the last day I'm going to be held hostage to the devil, I'm done. Number three, receive release from the addiction and the chains of guilt and shame over your past. You know why we stay into the things of our present? Because we tried it before and it didn't work in our past. Number four, serve an eviction notice to everything that is contrary to following Christ. Serve an eviction notice. I'm going to show you how to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed right now. I don't want anybody else moving around right now. I don't want anybody moving around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm coming under the authority of Jesus right now. I'm going to speak directly toward spirits, habits, addictions, doesn't matter what it is. In the name of Jesus, you got to go. Now remember, this is a two-sided equation. I can say it, but you've got to receive it. And you have to come in agreement with what I said, and the work's done. I'm going to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Intercessors, begin to pray with me right now. Those of you who know how to intercede, begin to intercede right now. This is big work that's going to happen right now. In the name of Jesus. As heads are bowed, as eyes are closed, I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios of what's happening right now. There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of angst in some people's spirit saying, what if it doesn't happen? I don't want to be exposed. This type of thing. It's not you don't want to be exposed. The devil doesn't want to be exposed. Amen. You are not what's addicted you. Amen. You are a child of God. You are beloved to the Father that's in heaven. And he has designed for you to have freedom that you may worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask you a question. Father, in the name of Jesus, because I believe you, I'm lifting my hands first as a sacrifice unto you. Knowing that I am nothing without you, but knowing I'm everything with you. And by the authority you give me as a minister of the gospel, Lord God, I command in the name of Jesus that people be set free. Lord, whether it's a first-time commitment to Jesus or whether it's a place where we as a believer have been held hostage to things, Lord, I pray today that freedom would come in the name of Jesus. I don't have to scream. I don't have to yell. I don't have to do anything else. But I pray by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that people would be set free from those things that have afflicted them. If you want to be set free, stand to your feet now. Stand up right 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 now. Stand up.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.